Views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, May 24th, 2019. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. And Bill is back from vacation. He's going to be back in the studio on Tuesday after a short vacation to recover from his vacation. He and his wife, Ann, spent some time in the Caribbean and posted a lot of great photos on his Facebook page. Be sure to check them out. Those Snickers in the background are from Dylan Smith. I'm wondering, do people really need a vacation from their vacation? I think Bill has a history of that.
Well, I can understand that. I get some really serious jet lag whenever I travel, and it usually takes me a couple days to bounce back once I'm at home.
Well, that's what he's doing. So he's it's
legit.
Yeah, and he plans these vacations over a holiday weekend.
Just the way you phrased it was excellent.
I wrote that one ahead of time. Okay, the Buckmaster Show is heard live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, right here on 10:30 a.m., trusted local talk. And we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. On Fridays, Bill likes to acknowledge the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com. That's Dylan, who you just heard, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Local
that
Media.
That would be you.
That would be me. And Tucson Weekly. You find all those and more on his website. In today's Friday Focus interview, we're talking to Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, whose sweeping district stretches from Green Valley all the way to the top of Mount Lemmon. Steve is joining us on the phone. If you want to join the discussion, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Joining me in studio, as I have already introduced, is Dylan Smith. He's editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Steve, welcome.
Well, thank you, Dan. Hello, Dylan. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, but you're doing better because you're heading out on a nice Memorial Day weekend trip, right?
Yeah, it's a nice, beautiful weekend, and certainly something I've been looking forward to join my three daughters and my two grandbabies, and yes, I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Wow. So despite all the drama of Pima County and the United States, it really is all about family, isn't it?
That's what it boils down to, it's kind of one of those funny things. I always said owning your own business would be great if you didn't have employees and customers. Family can be put in that same category sometimes.
You know, family would
be great if you didn't have parents, sisters, siblings, cousins, in-laws. Yeah. But my family is terrific, and I'm so glad to be able to spend this weekend with them.
I'm glad to say that. You know, my mom died about 12 years ago. In her obituary, we had a quote from her where she said, favorite part of her day was when the grandkids came running through the front door to visit, and the second best part of her day was when they left. That is forever in her obituary.
My wife and I say it's handoff time.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. You know, there's a reason to have them when you're young. And so it's nice to get them out. And my wife and I actually in the next week are going to become empty nesters. So with our youngest just got his master's and heading to move up to this place called Tucson to be a little closer to the school he's going to be teaching at. And so we're going to be sitting there with a 4-bedroom house and a lot of echoes going through there. But you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I kind of like it.
I think you're going to get used to it real quickly.
Oh, yeah. You know, 5 years ago, would not have wanted it. Today, yep, a little overdue. So we're ready. Hey, you were elected talking a lot about the roads, and I know that you attribute a lot of that to your wife, who's just, you'd come home and she'd say, fix the darn roads. I know. She, family radio, you know, we don't do that. But she might be happy now that there's a new plan. There's been a lot of starts and stops, but we're going to be getting some money from the general fund, it looks like, and then some HERF money. What's the plan going into the new budget year for addressing the issues?
Well, one of the things about going into the budget year at this time of year is it does give you the ability to kind of reflect on things. And of course, it was great news to know that there's money coming out of the general fund for road repair, or designated for road repair. This is a startling shift from when I was first elected, because I was told consistently that there is no money in the general fund. There's no way that money can be taken out of the general fund and put towards road repair. So consequently, a lot of effort was put into trying to find some other funding source to address the road repair issues. And as we all know, they did not pass either from the board level or from a bonding level or a taxing level. And one of the things that I'm kind of reflecting on is there's a great kind of a collective high-fiving going on amongst a lot of folks as a result of this money being found. And I'm certainly participating and willing to give my share of high fives. And there's also a lot of, happy dances at the end zone spike in the football that finally we've got money in the general fund. And I'm going to participate in that too. But upon reflection, one of the reasons, I think an overriding reason, that the bonds and road repair plans failed at all levels was certainly people just didn't want to have to pay any more taxes, and that's understandable. But there was also this trust factor, or I should say lack of trust, in Pima County administration that the monies that would be accumulated in any form, be it a bond or a tax or now in the general fund, there was a lack of trust that this money would actually end up going to the roads. And now that we've found this money, what's happened to that trust factor? Are we now supposed to be just as willing to not trust the county administration? Mr. Huckleberry was the bad guy, and I certainly took part in that discussion as well. And the trust factor is something that I also took part in, because I heard that a lot from my traveling throughout my district and my town halls and meetings with constituents over the years, that there was a deep-seated mistrust of county government being able to deliver the goods when it came to taking monies and actually putting them to road repair. Now, it seems that we found this money. All of a sudden, has that all gone away?
Where'd you find it?
I'm sorry?
Where did you find it?
Find the money?
Yeah.
Well, they found, I think it was as a result of, I think, some 70 layoffs in the transportation department.
Right.
That money became available. 97 HERF bonds have been paid down substantially. So the payment to those has reduced, and that's allowed a significant amount of money to be found. I also understand there's going to be additional HERF and VLT revenues that are going to be set aside directly for road repair. And I'm also aware that Mr. Huckleberry has designated some $5 million out of the general fund to go to road repair. So accumulated, I think it's somewhere around $26 million that's going to be available. My point being is, before the money was found, there was this lack of trust in Pima County. And now that the money is found, everybody seems to be celebrating. But do we have more trust now, or a lack of trust still existing? So I find that interesting. Secondly, the Pima County Transportation Advisory Committee has determined that the monies, roughly the $26 million available for road repair, be divided up equally amongst the five districts. In other words, 20% each. Well, there is the argument that, is that a fair way of cutting up the pie, particularly when some districts pay more property taxes, which goes into the general fund, than others. And I've certainly participated in that argument as well. What happens to that scenario? Is that going to go away too, now that we're celebrating and finding this money? So I'm certainly going to do my job as far as working with my colleagues and the county and the community to find ways to utilize this newfound money. And I'm very happy we have newfound money to use for road repair. But I just find it kind of a cautionary matter that what happened to the trust factor or lack of trust now that this money's found? Is that, does that still exist? And what about the argument about divvying it up among the districts? So it'll be interesting when we proceed through the final phases of approving this budget and beyond as to how this all comes to play.
Okay, we're talking to Supervisor Steve Christie. District 4 represents Green Valley and then sweeps around through Tenca Verde and then Mount Lemmon. It's a huge district. We're talking, let's just say $26 million is approved for the roads. Isn't that a drop in the bucket still?
Oh,
pocket
it really
change,
is.
Right?
Yeah, I've been quoted as saying it's crumbs.
Uh-huh.
But it is. But you take what you get at this particular point, and we've been able to do fairly well with some road improvements, particularly down in the Green Valley area, as you know, with far less than what we're being told that we're going to have available now. So still, there needs to be some sort of prioritization of money, much more than that, the $26 million. I've been advised that the real problem is capacity. You could have this big pile of, let's say, $800 million sitting on your desk, but that money could not be programmed quickly enough to address all the road needs. There's just not the capacity
right.
of contractors, of crews that can do the work and do the projects and do the planning. Really, the biggest amount of money capacity or velocity that can go through in any given year, I have been told, is roughly $50 million. Mm. So let's start with $50 million and get it programmed and get it working and see if that opens up more competition from other contractors that might see this money being made available. And once again, looking at Pima County as an attractive place to do road work, to do construction work. We've really gotten down to less than one hand that you can count on of contractors who are available and licensed and experienced enough to do road repair work. We need more to spread that work out, to get that money flowing, and also to hopefully drive down the prices of fixing these roads, which have been, as we all know, ignored in a huge manner for the last umpteen years. So,
okay, you are listening to the Buckmaster Show. We're with Supervisor Steve Christie. This portion of the show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and a whole lot more. I've been over there, and, you know, you just want to walk in, just sit in the corner, and just take it in, because it's awesome. They do it right over at Mona's Danish Bakery. Wonderful baked goods. But you know what? They also do breakfast and they do lunch. They're serving lunch right now and they do that well. That's Mona's Danish Bakery, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery or check them out on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. The good news, Bill Buckmaster back in the saddle on Tuesday after a day off for Memorial Day. Of course, I'm with Dylan Smith. He is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. And on the phone, we have Supervisor Steve Christie from District 4. And a lot of people don't realize your district heads all the way to the top of Mount Lemmon, where we've already had a couple of very small fires up there. I guess they're little campfires run amok type of a thing. But is there some concern this summer about wildfires on the mountain?
Well, I have heard often from a lot of people that are in the know in that area that because we've had such bountiful rains during the winter, it's producing a lot of growth that can be turned quickly once there's any kind of a dry spell into fuel. So consequently, these issues of all this new growth that will dry out and flame up very easily are still right at the present. So I think what we did last year with with the sheriff's auxiliary at the base of Mount Lemmon is something we're going to do again this year, and that's to advise people as they're heading up the mountain about fire safety, about campfires, about a number of things related to helping to prevent fires. So that was very successful, and you know, knock on wood, we didn't have any major conflagrations last summer, and we're hoping to replicate that this summer. And I think we've gotten a lot of rain and a lot of moisture, and hopefully it will retard any situations that cause alarm.
Well, I know a couple of years ago we had the sawmill fire down where we are in the Santa Ritas, and that was more than 50,000 acres, and scary, just kept going and going and going, but oddly enough did not take out any buildings, but certainly burned over plenty of land. There was, as I said earlier, never a lack of drama in the Pima County board meetings, and there was a little bit this past week as you were voting on what really I think should have just been a fairly easy vote, but it was to replace a constable who has resigned in Precinct 8, and there were a couple of candidates, and one of them was Kristen Landrum, and she is on the CLEPSI committee, the Community Law Enforcement Partnership Commission, which has made some controversial votes, and some people felt, including you, that they are anti-law enforcement, and you spoke out against appointing her. Can you tell us why?
Well, for what you just mentioned, I've attended a number of the CLEPSI meetings, and I've witnessed and heard not only at the CLEPSI meetings, but at the usual Board of Supervisors call to the audience, the comments and the focus that the candidate for the constable position has stated over the course of many months. And it certainly is not one supportive of law enforcement. It's not supportive of the sheriff. As a matter of fact, the county administrator compiled a pretty good stack of facts that counter counter to all of the claims that she was making. And basically, I think you were the one that said took her outside and took the CLEPC folks out into the woodshed and basically said those statements you're making and those charges you're making against Border Patrol, against the sheriff, against law enforcement are simply not true. And this particular individual has made it clear that she has real deep-seated issues with the functions of the sheriff and the sheriff deputies and Border Patrol. And it just astounds me that someone who really has indicated no support, no understanding, or no knowledge of what the mission of the sheriff's department and other related law enforcement agencies are, suddenly wants to be in the law enforcement community herself. And I don't see the connection there. And as a matter of fact, it's very troubling. And consequently, based on my witnessing of her statements and her actions and her votes, I did not feel that she was a qualified individual for that position.
So, Steve, there were three people that applied for this appointment. People have to apply. They have to put their names forward. Would you have voted for one of the others?
Probably not. The position was vacated by a Democrat, and consequently, a Democrat has to fill that position. I did hear from one individual who came to call to the audience that very meeting, and he was as troubling in many respects as the individual who actually was appointed, but I don't believe I would have voted for any of them.
Well,
and quite frankly, it wasn't up to the Republicans to fill that void. It was up to the Democrats.
Well, you know, this speaks to how the word gets out about an opening, because as we know, a lot of former law enforcement or military tend to step into these constable roles. It's a tough job. It's a dangerous job. It's a completely misunderstood job. Dylan and I had a discussion, you know, last week
about it's a terrible job. It's depressing.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, a constable is generally an elected official. This was an appointment midterm because somebody resigned, but the gig is to essentially go around and serve orders of protection in domestic violence cases and orders of eviction. It's really hitting people at some of the lowest points in their lives without the opportunity to be a hero like so many other law enforcement agents can get. It's just dealing with miserable people. It's a horrible gig.
Yeah, how do you get the word out on that, Steve, that, hey, this is opening so you can get somebody who is qualified? And I'm not saying that Kristen Landrum is not qualified. I'm simply saying that I was a little surprised that there wasn't a bigger pool of people to choose from.
Well, maybe it's what Dylan just articulated. It's a horrible gig, and it deals with all those factors that Dylan just highlighted. And I think there is a general lack of understanding and knowledge about what a constable does. And I don't know how to answer that question of how we get the word out there that we need more qualified people who can actually fulfill that position. But it certainly needs to be addressed, and we should have a wide assortment. I don't recall offhand what the job pays, but I think it's substantial.
It pays decently.
But yeah. And so pay shouldn't be an issue, but I think certainly a law enforcement and legal familiarity is required, and maybe that's off-putting to people too. But it is a tough job, and I don't think I'd want it.
Well, we'll see how she does. She'll be up for election in 2020. She'll be incumbent, which is certainly an advantage. Speaking of election 2020, you've already filed.
Yes, I can't wait to run.
I know you enjoy the process, but let me ask you this.
I enjoy being supervisor.
You do, but there's a difference between that and actually going through the election process. The campaign trail is never fun, even if people like you. But you have made a commitment that you will do two terms and then you are done. Is that still in place?
That's my goal. My wife has different ideas at times.
And what are her ideas?
Well, she's not particularly fond of me hanging around the house often. So.
Oh, okay. So maybe, okay, so do we pull a Jeff Flake then where we say we'll do two terms and then we're actually, you know, eventually running for president or whatever he's going to do? We'll see. So.
I do have a personal philosophy that two terms is plenty, and unless there's some compelling reason for me to seek a third term, I'm of the notion at this particular time that two terms is plenty.
Okay, we have just about a minute left here, but we often talk about what happens in the board meetings, but really a lot of the action is in constituent services. You get a lot of big issues that come up that people just call in and your staff helps out with. What are some of the biggest issues that crop up time and time again that your staff is on that we never hear about?
Well, you'd be surprised about this. The biggest number one issue is the condition of their roads.
And we've come full circle. So.
Yeah, I get, I'd say that the bulk, the vast majority of constituent concerns, transportation, infrastructure-related issues. It's one of the things that I've always been lucky about is my background in the automobile business. Running for office, to me, is the equivalent of selling cars. Taking care of constituents is like running a service department. And what people want more than anything is to know that their elected official has received their complaint, has read their complaint, and is going to do something about their complaint or their concern. And we make a point, I respond to every one of my constituents' concerns and issues that affect their lives. I am of the old school. I write a handwritten note back to them, and I have a very good working relationship with several of the most tasked Pima County administration agencies, and they have really done a terrific job of responding to those folks in person and making sure that their issues, if not necessarily solved, but at least somebody is there aware of them and that can respond to them and can give them direction.
Okay.
It's one of the more gratifying parts of my job that I really enjoy.
Okay, Supervisor Steve Christie, thanks for fitting us in at the beginning of what I'm sure is going to be a terrific Memorial Day weekend for you and your family. We appreciate you coming
in. Well,
thank
you, and I'm very glad to have been on the show, and thanks for asking me.
Okay, very good.
Thanks.
We will be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This is Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News, Sawarita San. It's time for our Friday roundtable where we bat around the issues. But first, let me revisit Mona's Danish Bakery, Sunrise and Swan. It's lunchtime, so owners Steve and Sherry are no doubt busy serving European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies. They have everything over there. They've got lunch going right now, and you can also get a hot breakfast at Mona's Danish Bakery, Sunrise and Swan.
You're
in
making
Tucson.
Me want some gluten.
I
man.
Tell you, this
I need
you have
warm,
got
fresh gluten.
You hear Bill talk about it, and then you go there and you're like, I think he's been underselling this place because it is really just a gem. And again, it was a hike from my place in Sarita, although it's a lot easier on the weekend, which is when I went. Absolutely worth it, though. So check out Mona's Danish Bakery on Facebook or find a link at Buckmaster Show. com. So we are here with Dylan Smith. That's him. He was yep. with us with Supervisor Steve Christie, who loves to talk about the roads, mostly because his wife has twisted his arm behind his back and is saying, get him fixed. And we've had so many starts and stops on that. I don't know whether $26 million is going to be enough to make a dent. It's a start. But to reach into those roads that go in front of your home, it's going to take a long time. And remember, in Green Valley, we're on a short timeline here. People really want to get them done because they figure if I have to wait 15 years, I'm not going to be around to enjoy them.
You said it. I didn't.
Yeah, it's true, though. It's absolutely true. That's why there's always a sense of urgency about these things down where I come from. But again, generally speaking, though, he is correct. We've had a lot of repairs down there, which we appreciate. So the big roads, we're not throwing our cars out of alignment on. We are also...
Well, you guys are only driving like 23 miles an hour on those main roads anyway. Come
and
on,
they're only,
man.
And they're only driving 23 miles a month. So, but you know what? We pay taxes too. There you go. So there's my shut up line. joining us is Arizona Daily Star reporter Joe Ferguson. And by the way, that won't make Dylan shut up, but it makes me feel good to say it. So welcome, Joe. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Enjoying your work as always. You're a hard worker, and I appreciate that in a person, and particularly a reporter. You
Thanks.
Do good work.
Appreciate
so,
it.
So much going on yet. I was texting earlier with Daniel Hernandez. He is a Legislative District 2 Democrat representative, represents my area, saying, hey, how's it going on those budget talks at the legislature? And the answer would be slow. And as we see, they've passed, three budget-related bills, but they haven't passed a budget yet. And there is definitely... looking like they're going to be working through the weekend. Let me remind you, I believe these people make $24,000 a year as state legislators. It is not much, but this is crunch time. This, of course, is the season because the legislature is in, but it looks like they're going to be working through Memorial Day weekend trying to get a budget. But things are so... the party split is so close that it doesn't take much to upend things. And Dylan, I was discussing earlier this week, I ran into Randy Graff, former state legislator, ran for Congress about 15 years ago, and we were talking about why the Republicans will not allow the Democrats any voice in fashioning a budget. The short answer, which Randy never gives you, is that they are in control and they can do it. The longer answer, though, involves the fact that it's simply a very complex process involving a lot of horse trading, and why make it more complicated by introducing another party that probably is going to have bills or pet projects that you're just not going to get to them.
The reason things are hung up right now is because there are some Republican members of the legislature who have some pet projects and some bills that they think are important. One of the biggies hanging things up right now is lengthening the statute of limitations for sexual assault for children so that people can bring these reports later when they are adults and realize the kind of impact this has had on their lives. And there are a couple of legislators who say they will not vote on a budget until that's dealt with. So that's really jammed up the works. But what we're seeing is something that happens every year. These discussions take place behind closed doors, not in public, not in committees, not where the public or the other party has any input. And it always gets shoved off until the very last minute, in the middle of the night, literally, every year.
Well, and you're talking about Senator Boyer, who a hot mic just released says that his Republican colleagues are threatening to give him political payback for holding up his budget discussions. So, you know, there's a bit of infighting going on over at the Senate where I think the real stall is going to be. That's where the fight's going to be, where it's very, very close. And Boyer and another Republican colleague are going to hold things up.
And all it takes there is really two votes from the Republicans to completely grind things to a halt if they want to.
Right.
And like Dylan brought up, this goes on every year. It's just a little more pronounced. Let me read you the lead of a story from the Arizona Mirror. It says Representative Kelly Townsend says she won't vote for the K-12 education portion of the proposed budget unless the legislature passes her plan to crack down on politicking in the classroom by teachers, et cetera, et cetera. And so the question is, are we voting on a budget or are we voting on policies or other bills or whatever? I mean, when everybody starts bringing their pet projects into this and starts threatening to slow down, even against their own party, it's a wonder we ever get a budget.
Well, there's all sorts of surprises hidden in that budget that just couldn't be folded into the legislative session. And this is how they're going to do it.
Well, we'll see if they actually come up with anything, because it sounds like a lot of people are willing to dig in their heels and not let it get through unless their pet plan gets through. And this is unfortunately how it works.
And we do actually have a deadline coming up. They need to get a budget so they can actually legally keep spending some money.
Right.
Right. So we'll see. That is at the state legislature. There's a little bit of drama going up there. A week ago, Dylan, you were with us when we were talking to several journalists, and we were discussing really coverage of the state legislature and how there are so few people actually doing it right now. Howard Fisher with Capital Media Services is like a one-man band, and he provides the bulk of that type of copy for the Arizona Daily Star, and I know for a couple of our newspapers also. And the Republic has got maybe a person or two, depending on if the legislature is in session. But so much of this is, as we termed it, boring but important stuff. And how it affects you, you don't want to find out on the other end. You don't want to approve the budget and then find out. That's why you need reporters.
Well, and we, you know, keep seeing bad bills that get through, things that aren't very well thought out. And the reason that happens is reporters, and thus the public, are not paying the appropriate amount of attention. And that's just because we don't have enough reporters there really digging into this. We've got a few more recently with the Arizona Mirror starting to dig into things and sort of bolstering the work that the Capital Times and the Republic and Howie are doing. But look at this bill. That's another thing that's actually starting to jam up the budget is repealing this special registration fee that was tacked on to help support DPS. And the way this was done to avoid having to vote on it as a tax, it was some sort of fee that was determined later. Well, and was determined to be twice as much as we thought it was going to be.
Right.
Because no one paid attention, really.
Well, it was a screw-up by the legislature to okay that last year without really having a firm number. They were told, based on the numbers, it would be about $18, and it turned out to be $32. This gets passed. I've already been dinged for it. A lot of people down where I am are not happy about it. This is one of those things where you're not paying attention, and then suddenly it happens, and it matters. So now they're going
to... I could have gotten one of my cars registered before the fee kicked in, but I forgot to register it, so I got dinged with it.
That's called being reckless and irresponsible, yeah. But that's another topic. But so this stuff happens down there, and it's so important to pay attention to it. But now, of course, they're going to roll that back. That's one of the plans, over 5 years. Now, I don't know why it takes 5 years to correct a mistake that was just made in the last, you know, year or so. But the fact
because
is,
now they've
it's money.
Now they've counted on that money in their projections, and they don't want to just give it all up all at once.
Absolutely. So
and running a government does take money. I mean, things that we want cost actual dollars.
I think the problem is that it's a fee, but it feels like a tax. And a tax has a different process than a fee, and that's really kind of what it comes down to. It's a fee. It's not a tax, but it feels like one, and that's what kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Speaking of rubbing someone the wrong way, Supervisor candidate Felicia Chu wants to do a big favor for Border Patrol agents. Joe, you had this in a column. What's the plan?
So we woke up on Thursday morning to a story that my colleague Kurt had written about a serial rapist at the Border Patrol, and my colleague Fitz had written a cartoon about it in terms of what we had learned earlier in the week about those racist text messages going back and forth. And Felicia thought that this kind of conversation was bad and it could lead to a cycle of violence, and so she decided to throw out the idea as a candidate for office that verbal criticisms of Border Patrol agents should be considered a hate crime. And she extended it to law enforcement and then conveniently extended it to politicians, which she now is.
Yeah.
Dylan, was she just trying to get attention, or do you think she really believes in this harebrained idea?
It's really hard to tell what Felicia Chu actually thinks, because she never responds to direct questions. I asked her a number of very specific direct questions about this yesterday, and she just gives elliptical, wandering answers. Instead of responding where you ask, she creates new posts about something that she says is related but really isn't related. And she is, let's just say, unusual in her communication style.
But she's right that rhetoric begets rhetoric. And let's face it.
Should it be a crime?
No, hold on.
That was her proposal, that things should be a crime. If you talk mean about a politician, it should be a crime. That you know, the cartoonist at the Star, Fitz, should be charged with a crime.
A hate crime.
A hate crime, right.
A specific hate crime, which is designed to protect minorities, is going to be...
But there's no such thing as just a hate crime. Something has to be already criminal and then motivated by certain factors to be a hate crime. So what crime is it to make a cartoon about some horrible things that a Border Patrol agent said? It really, that was a cartoon with quotes.
Let me read what she wrote. She said, bad things happen when we clump people together. Did you guys all have to get together and figure out what word she used? She wrote that word.
She wrote that word,
hers. She wrote it again this morning, glump, talking about her experiences as an English teacher as well.
Okay. Bad things happen when we glump people together. We can see the downhill spiral among some community members and the mounting aggression in regard to Border Patrol agents. We have been down this path before. We cannot forget history because it repeats itself. Now, all of that, I suppose, is accurate. Rhetoric begets rhetoric. People go to social media to talk. They don't go there to listen. And so people throw stuff out. And my guess is that her point was that it's just going to get worse if we don't do something about it. Of course, what she wants to do about it is draconian. Has she backed off on this, Joe?
She's not necessarily backed off of it. The post is still there. And I'll tell you, the best way that I learned about this post in the first place is she tagged me in it.
Okay, she wanted
the attention. She wants, and she does this regularly. And, you know, I will say that Fitz did something that was protected by the First Amendment.
Sure.
And her decision to throw it on social media is, you know, exactly the rhetoric that she's talking about that's dangerous.
Dylan, will people understand how dangerous this is, the casual observer?
The dangerousness of Fitz's cartooning that she wants to put warning labels on?
No,
or
the dangerousness of threatening
to somehow violate the First Amendment?
Muzzling the press. Do people really understand?
I think when you get right down to actually having that discussion, people do realize that how dangerous that is. And it's not just, you know, us as the press, as journalists. It's, you know, threatening to muzzle with the power of the government, not the power of Facebook not wanting garbage to be distributed on social media, but the power of the government to charge people with crimes for mean things that they say about government employees who we pay. Really, when you frame it like that, which is what was discussed. I think that troubles just about everybody who takes a minute to think about it.
Dylan, I'm worried that you're going to fall under her hate crimes discussion.
Well, she's not elected yet, yeah. So
I'm worried that this discussion will get us right into hot water, gentlemen.
Look, we made fun of Glump.
We should point out that Felicia Chu is at this point, I think, an aspiring perennial candidate. This is her third attempt to run for office. She got on the ballot once, didn't make it through the Democratic primary to run for city council, although she got a fair number of votes. And if she had won that primary, she probably would have won the general election and been sitting on the Tucson City Council right now. But she's somewhere in between aspiring perennial candidate. I think my general rule would be a failed third run would qualify someone for that. And just a total gadfly.
What would you say, Dylan, about somebody who runs 2 years out for a job? What does that tell you about a candidate?
Well, either they're really, really prepared and eager for the job and knowledgeable and know what they want, or they're just casting about for attention.
Joe, I'm going to give you the last word on this because we've got to wrap it up. But did you think of just ignoring this?
We did, but this isn't the first time that she has thrown out ideas that have some really deep concerns in the community. So she has offered up other suggestions, including making a bowling alley a safe place for abusers and their victims to find restorative justice, a philosophy that is highly debated in law enforcement communities.
Okay, very good. That is our Friday roundtable for this week. My thanks to Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, and Joe Ferguson, Arizona Daily Star. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks.
You bet. When we return, we're going to give you a little help planning your weekend.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial, a place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
It's now time for Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next couple of days. Actually, I guess we get 3 days because it's Memorial Day weekend. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. You can't miss in New Mexico, historic downtown Silver City, or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument in Grant County. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. And on the line, we have our Weekend Watch expert. Matt, we missed you last week.
Oh boy, you know, I was occupying another part of the world on my ongoing culinary and cocktail pursuits, but I guess Dan did a fine job of sitting
it was
in.
Okay, court. But my weekend just.
My weekend did not quite measure up to a Matt Russell weekend. You know, the Gibson weekend was all right.
And he also made fun of me because I do lemonade instead of beer. And he said, Dan, I'm laughing at you. I believe that was a direct quote. And so
it's the state drink. You're being
and you
patriotic.
Pointed that out. You pointed that out, which is a wonderful thing. So, yeah, Matt, we know you get around. And that's a good thing because I'm sure there's different foods in different places. But let's focus on the home front here. What's going on in Tucson this weekend?
Yeah, let's do it, guys. You know, Chef Janos Wilder, of course, loves this downtown culture. And throughout this summer, he's going to be featuring special events at the Carriage House downtown that celebrates the culinary traditions of other downtowns around the globe. Check it out. The series starts tonight at 6 o'clock with a cooking class and a dinner that will showcase downtown Suruoka, Japan. I was not there last weekend. I was in Sedona, but close enough. this area is known for its more than 50 species of ancestral foods and, of course, an abundance of seafood. A 7-course meal will be served following the class, and tickets are only $70. You can get them now at carriagehousetucson.com.
Excellent. Off to Japan, then, and you get to stay in town, too.
No passport needed.
Yeah, what else? And then we have a benefit for the puppies.
Yeah, we do. You know, 10 years ago, a group of local ladies got together to make bead bracelets to raise money for local animal welfare programs known today as the Beading Divas.
Of course they are.
They'll be hosting an event on Sunday at Corbett Brewing from 4 to 6 p.m. to celebrate their decade of divadom and to raise money for Southern Arizona Greyhound Rescue. The event is going to have craft beer specials and canine-themed cocktails, live music, and, of course, more beads and bracelets than you can imagine. It's Sunday at Corbett Brewing, which is 309 East 7th Street.
Hey, that's excellent. We have got a lot of dog lovers down where we are, several who do Greyhound Rescue.
Lizzie and her group do really wonderful Absolutely. Volunteer work to help so many other animal rescue groups around town.
And we've got a Greyhound group that meets at the dog park, and I'm telling you, these Greyhounds are just wonderful, wonderful pets, and people do a lot with them. Hey, it's Memorial Day weekend, long weekend. What do we got in plan?
Yeah, well, on Monday, you know, while some may choose the comforts of home to kind of honor our fallen as they put out a commemorative barbecue spread for friends and families and neighbors, there are others who would rather leave the cooking to someone else. So in those cases, guys, the Omni Tucson National Resort will be hosting a poolside barbecue, and for only $15, you can get your choice from 5 entree options along with a side dish and a non-alcoholic beverage. Now, I've perused this menu, and my call would be the passion fruit barbecued pulled chicken with fresh fruit, but I would personally spend up for a couple of craft brews to hoist high in memory of our heroes. It's all at the Omni from 11 to 5 all weekend long and on Memorial Day.
Excellent. Hey, what do you got going in Inside Tucson Business?
Well, June 1st is National Bubbly Day. Yes, there's a day for everything. And I caught up with a couple of sparkling celebrities who had some fun ideas for expressing our effervescence on the big day. You can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Inside Tucson Business. That's Matt Russell, and you always make the weekends wonderful, drinking or not.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Hey, and if you are looking for something to do on Memorial Day, 9 a.m., Green Valley Cemetery, which is actually in the town of Sahuarita, has a Memorial Day ceremony. I've gone to it for several years, and they do a terrific job. So join us at 9 a.m. on Monday morning to honor those who have fallen. And Memorial Day, just a day to remember those who meant something to you in your life. And that is going to send us on into the Memorial Day weekend. Let me remind you that The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. If you like that original theme music that they're playing by Chris Stefan, you can find a link to his work on Bill's site. And thanks to the rest of the team here, everybody at KVOI, Bustos Media, Ray Allen, Bob Dio, production supervisor Jerry Cross, and Buckmaster Show Executive Assistant Rosemary Brandt, who is awesome. Everybody have a great weekend, and we will have Bill back in this seat on Tuesday.